Thank you for joining us for worship today. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to worship. Those of you who are here, those of you who are here with us at home, welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It's wonderful to have you all here with us for our fourth and final Sunday in Advent. The next time that we get together, it will already be Christmas Eve, and it's almost hard to believe that Christmas is already just 5 days away. But it's good, even with a really busy season, and yes, even with COVID, it's a busy season, maybe in some ways even more stressful than normal, but it's a wonderful blessing that our God gives us to gather together, to be in this sanctuary, beautifully decorated, to remember the reason for the season. We can rest here knowing that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that He was born for us in Bethlehem many, many years ago, so that we would have hope. That's what this is all about, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today as well. For our worship this morning, we are going to be following Divine Service Setting 2, and it's all printed there for you in the bulletin. I invite you to please stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue now with the words of the intro. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. We will sing our Advent canticle, which is Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus. Please remain standing. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Verses 1 through 11, and then concluding with verse 16. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak responsively the words of the gradual. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, beginning with verse 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, and today we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is "A Great and Mighty Wonder." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle, Romans chapter 16. A very short passage here right at the end of Paul's letter to the Romans. And really, the way that Paul is deciding to wrap up his letter here is to talk about how Jesus becomes the revelation of the mysteries that have existed from the beginning of time, for many, many, many years. And I think when we read this passage in the context of a week like this, we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, I think we realize that it's Jesus' birth into the world that really starts that process. I think this passage really goes along well with the gospel reading. You know, Gabriel announcing to Mary that she's going to be the mother of God, that's the moment when Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This is how the mysteries of God become revealed to the entire world. And we certainly give thanks for that. So this is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us, no matter who you are, no matter what your life experience happens to be, all of us have blind spots in our understanding of the way that the world works, somewhere along the line. All of us have some things that maybe they just weren't explained to you fully when you were a kid, or maybe they were fully explained to you, but you just weren't paying close enough attention at the time. I don't know, but we all have those moments, right, where it's like an aha moment, where all of a sudden you finally figure out something that it seems like everybody else in the world already knew. But that does happen to us from time to time. Now, lately, I would say this phenomenon has become somewhat of an internet meme, actually. So maybe if you're on social media, you've noticed the way it usually gets worded is, I was today years old when I found out, whatever, fill in the blank, right? So it could be something simple, like someone could say, I was today years old when I found out that, you know, those little plastic tags on the loaves of bread, that they're color-coded depending on what day that the bread was baked, right? You could say, I was today years old when I found that out. And maybe if you didn't already know that, then you could say, I was today years old when I learned that in a sermon, right? But this came up for us, for my family, about a year ago, right around this time. So Katie and I were listening to some Christmas music, and the song, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, came on the radio. And, you know, that song is pretty famous. You know, you have the kid who, he goes downstairs late on Christmas Eve, and he sees Mommy and Santa kissing underneath the mistletoe, right? And that whole song, if you really listen to the words, it kind of gets you thinking. So I don't remember exactly what Katie said, but at one point she made a comment like, isn't it kind of weird how you have this popular Christmas song about how essentially Mommy is cheating on Daddy with Santa? Like, isn't that kind of strange? And I don't remember. I said something like, well, yeah, that is kind of weird, but I mean, it's a good thing that it's Daddy dressed up like Santa. And you could just see the light bulb go off in her head, right? That she was that day years old when she realized for the first time what that song is actually about, right? It's not that Mommy is having an affair with Santa. It's Daddy dressed up like Santa, and the kid doesn't realize that, right? So maybe you didn't know that before. Maybe you were today years old when you found out that's what that song is really about. But if that's the case for you, don't feel bad, because there's been a lot of people over the years. In fact, when that song was first recorded, it was 1952, a child singer by the name of Jimmy Boyd first originally recorded that song, and the Roman Catholic Archdiocese in Boston condemned that song right away because they said it was an inappropriate mixture of Christmas and infidelity. And a whole bunch of radio stations went along with that and banned it from the airwaves. And this poor kid, 13-year-old Jimmy Boyd, had to go up in front of these church leaders and convince them, no, it's really about Mommy kissing Daddy the whole time. And so if that had never happened, we probably wouldn't even know that song today. It probably wouldn't be the hit that it is now. So let's dive into this text here now. Romans chapter 16, it's the very last three verses of Paul's longest letter. And the way that Paul decides he's going to wrap up this his whole argument as he writes this letter to the Romans, he's talking about these blind spots for them. The revelation of mystery, right? And he says it's a mystery that was kept secret for long ages. And certainly that birth of Jesus Christ is that greatest revelation of who God really is to us. When we see Jesus, then we get to know who God is. Now remember, when Paul is writing to the church of Rome, he's writing to a whole bunch of people that come from a whole bunch of different kinds of backgrounds. You know, like the old saying is, all roads lead to Rome, right? So Rome is filled with a mixture of all different kinds of people. You would have, you know, kind of like the ancient equivalent of what we call the American melting pot going on in Rome. So you've got people that are Jewish background and Gentile background. You've got poor people and rich people and middle class people. You've got people from the north and the south and the east and the west, Roman citizens, foreigners. You've got them all. Everybody's in the city. And it's probably no surprise to you that the church then, the Christians who are living in Rome, they were filled with all kinds of diversity too, because the church really reflected the community in that way. So what that means is, if you are writing a letter to people that have a really varied, you know, backgrounds, then you've got to figure out a way, how are you going to bring a message to them that's going to speak to all of them? All of them have different blind spots. All of them have these mysteries that they are considering when it comes to God. And then on top of that, Paul hadn't even actually personally visited Rome yet by the time he wrote this letter. So we know that the church in Rome was established about 10 years before Paul even sat down to write Romans. And I know that doesn't sound like a long time, especially, you know, in a congregation like ours, which has been here for 154 years. But back in those days, in the earliest days of Christianity, I mean, that's about as old as it got. This was a well-established church filled with lots of different kinds of people. So there really was no one-size-fits-all approach to ministry in Rome, and Paul knew that. And yet he was still able to deliver a message to them that applied to everybody. He was able to remind them that every single one of those Christians, at the very moment that they came to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they were that day years old when they actually had the mysteries, the greatest mysteries of the universe, revealed to them. So if you had a Jewish background as a Roman Christian, well, then you had that moment, that answer comes to you. Who is this long-awaited Messiah? Answer, Jesus Christ. If you were a Gentile Roman Christian, well, then you had this moment where it was finally answered, the mystery of who is this being that has created everything that exists, the world that we live in, and how does this God interact with his people? Answer, Jesus Christ and his love. So it's like Paul says at the beginning of this text, it's according to the gospel. It's according to the preaching of Jesus Christ that the mystery, quote, has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations. And thanks be to God that continues to this day. Thanks be to God that continues among us, even now. So we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas once again later on this week, on Friday morning, Thursday evening. The birth of our Savior Jesus Christ in Bethlehem reveals something about our Heavenly Father to us. It reveals the mystery of his love to us. When we really consider what it means that the all-powerful, immortal God of the universe decided to take the form of a teeny tiny little baby and made himself vulnerable. So vulnerable, in fact, that eventually he would let himself die at the hands of wicked men. We learn something about our God through all of that. We learn how much he loves us. We learn how much he cares for us and how he's literally willing to do anything for us. So all of the doubts, the questions, the misunderstandings, the blind spots, they go away because of Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, it's really the opposite of the way that most people in the world are used to celebrating Christmas. Right? Because whereas the birth of Jesus Christ actually helps us to clearly see things that used to be hidden, I think what the world normally pays attention to at this time of the year is all of the mystery and the secrecy of the Christmas season. The message that we hear most often at this time of the year is that what makes Christmas the most wonderful time of the year is the mystery and the holiday magic and things like that, right? So if you go back to the mommy kissing Santa Claus thing, you know, what gives that song its charm is the innocence of this boy who is so wrapped up in the mystery of everything that he can't even recognize his own father right in front of his face. Many people, what they're looking forward to this week, Thursday night, Christmas Eve, what they're looking forward to is a secret Santa, right? One who does all of his greatest work in the middle of the night, when nobody's watching, when the children are nestled all snug in their beds and visions of sugar plums dance in their heads, whatever a sugar plum is. I don't think I've ever had one before, right? But you wake up Christmas morning, and there's a mystery about it. The stockings are full. There's presents under the tree. The milk and cookies that you left out on the plate, they've been reduced to just like crumbs. The big guy was hungry, right? And it's a big mystery. The mystery remains mysterious. Secret Santa remains a secret. And as fun as those traditions are, when we come into this building Christmas morning, or when you watch on your live stream at home, because this is still 2020 after all. But when we gather to worship and we praise our God for sending his son to be born in Bethlehem, what we're celebrating isn't holiday magic or something that was done in secret. But Jesus is the one whose incarnation finally gives us a way to see our God, since before then, there was no way for a person to see God and live. All throughout the Old Testament, when God appears to his people, it's always in mystery and secrecy. It's a voice heard in a dream or in a burning bush, right, or through the prophet. It's the angel of the Lord appearing to people, but there's still a lot of mystery surrounding that. Christmas is the moment when the mystery finally gives way to firsthand knowledge and sight. Christmas is the time when God could now meet his people face to face in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. So when the angels announce to the shepherds that this wonderful thing has taken place, they don't tell the shepherds, don't peek at your Christmas presents. No, they say, go to the manger. Look at this child. You're going to find him. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's going to be lying in a manger. Right? When the wise men are looking up at the sky, they're not looking for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? But God sent them a star and led them exactly to the very place where the child was so that they could actually see him for themselves and the mystery could be revealed. And even for us, for you and me, living 2,000 years after Jesus had risen and bodily ascended into heaven, even though he's not physically present in the way that he was back then, Jesus is still revealing the mysteries to us. He just does it in different ways. He does it through his word, when we read scripture, when we hear preaching of the gospel. He does it through the sacraments, right? When we actually get to see and feel what it means to be washed in holy baptism or to receive the body and blood of Christ in holy communion. Through those things and through the love that is shown between us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's how Christ is revealed to us now. And not just to us, but to the rest of the world too. So that more and more people will believe in him and be saved. So that more and more souls will be able to say, I was today years old when Jesus claimed me and forgave me of all of my sins and gave me hope for eternal life. Let's do everything that we can within our own circles, our circles of influence, our conversations, to take those blind spots away from the rest of the world and reveal God's love to his people. Because it's not a secret, and it's not a mystery. It's simply Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. In his most holy and precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There are a number of updates that we have to our prayer list today. First, I want to mention that we had a number of folks connected to our congregation who have passed away in this last week, and so we'll be praying for their families. You have listed in your bulletin the family of Ann Bachman. That's Charlene Bachman's aunt. She passed away on Monday. But then we also received word that her brother Roy Bachman had passed away yesterday. He had sudden complications from diabetes, and then he also had been diagnosed with COVID-19. And so we'll be certainly keeping Ms. Bachman and all of her family in our prayers today. Also, our dear brother in Christ, Eddie Beckemeyer, that would be the father of Angie Schnicker, he passed away at home on Thursday, and so we'll be keeping their family in our prayers. Also, not listed in the bulletin is the family of Samuel Thompson. That is the father of Linda Unverfurt, who passed away last Saturday. A few other additions as well. Under ongoing health needs, we are going to include Wally Eichmeyer. Wally was supposed to have a heart stent put in earlier this week, and for various reasons, that wasn't possible. And so now there's just kind of questions about what to do next or where to go next. And so we're going to pray for guidance for him and for his family. And also, I would like to include Flo Dombacher. This is a personal friend of our family, Katie and I. She's a sweet lady in her 90s who has also been recently diagnosed with COVID-19, so we want to keep her in our prayers. I believe those are all the updates. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Most High, you have favored us in the incarnation of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Mary. In everything, let it be to us according to your word. Give us faith to believe that nothing is impossible with you, and so to pray boldly in childlike confidence. Lord, in your mercy. O Most High, you have revealed in Christ Jesus the mystery kept secret for long ages, now made known to all nations through the prophetic and apostolic scriptures. According to your eternal command, give us faithful preachers of your gospel to bring about the obedience of faith. Bless Matthew Harrison, our synod president, Tim Schar, our district president, Tim Miller, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ. Strengthen your holy church in every place. Bless especially our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran in Farron, and their pastor, Jonathan Jennings. Lord, in your mercy. O Most High, hear our prayers on behalf of our nation, its president, all legislators and judges, and those newly elected to serve. Preserve their lives and guide their actions for the good of our people. Give peace among the nations of the earth and preserve us from pestilence and famine, war and bloodshed, sedition, rebellion, and every evil. Watch over those who serve in our nation's armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Isaiah, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. O Most High, we thank you for all of your blessings to us. We continue to ask for favorable weather, and also that you would keep safe those who work in the fields. Bless us all as this year comes to a close and we prepare for a new year to begin. Bless especially those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Emma, Bobby, Paige, Blair, Candace, Shirley, Toby, Camden, Samuel, and Marshall. Remind them daily of your love and mercy. Lord, in your mercy. O Most High, look with compassion on the lonely, the depressed, and the despairing. Grant healing to the sick and give peace to the anxious and dying. Especially we pray for those who are on our congregation's prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ronnie, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Brian, and Betty. We continue to lift before you Cheryl as she recovers from her recent surgery, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Sam, Bob, Janelle, Deb, Beulah, Amy, Janet, Alma, Laverne, Carlene, Richard, Teddy, Verdell, Leon, Marvin, Linda, Daryl, Todd, Matthew, Jean, Reba, Flo, Wally, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. We ask you, Lord, to comfort all who mourn, especially the family and friends of Eddie Beckemeyer, the family and friends of Samuel Thompson. Be with Charlene Bachman and her family as they mourn the passing of her aunt Ann Bachman and also her brother Roy Bachman. Bring to all a reminder of the certain hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. O Most High, we give you thanks for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the key of David and the scepter of the house of Israel. By his death, he has opened the kingdom of heaven and closed the gates of hell for all who trust in him. By his resurrection, he has rescued the prisoners who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Grant that as we recall with thanksgiving his advent in the flesh, we may also confess him and remain watchful for his advent in glory at the last day. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. A reminder, as always, that we have our offering receptacle in the narthex. You can place your offerings there if you haven't already done so. At this time, we will sing our offertory hymn, Now Sing We, Now Rejoice. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn is Go Tell It on the Mountain. At this time, I will invite our Sunday school students to dismiss, and any teachers. Good morning. Well, it's a busy week. It's a blessed week. We get to celebrate Christmas, and I just want to let you know about all the various things that are happening. The first one is today. So normally, on an even year, 2020, we would have our children's Christmas program on the Sunday before Christmas. That's today. However, we weren't able to do that live and in person this year. So it will be a virtual children's Christmas program, which will be available to you at 4 o'clock this afternoon. That's when it premieres on Facebook. If you're not available at 4, that's okay. You can watch it at your convenience anytime after it airs. The children and the staff have been working really hard to make something special. So it will be different, but hopefully you'll still find it cute and edifying, and you'll be able to share it with family and friends who don't even live around here. So that's one of the blessings of having it as a virtual service. So we hope you'll tune in. That's this afternoon at 4. Also, wanted to just give you an update. It's there at the bottom of the first page of announcements there, but we've been collecting in the school help support the Irvington Food Pantry, and we've collected a lot of food items. We kind of challenged the kids to bring in a combination of 2,000 either items or dollars, and because of some wonderful donations from our school families and some others, we were able to bring in 2,367 points of cash and also non-perishable food items. So what a wonderful blessing that is. And thank you to all of you who donated toward that. Later this week, we will have our Christmas Eve and Christmas Day worship services. Just a couple notes about those. Christmas Eve will be a Lessons and Carols service, and there will be two services this year, one at 6 o'clock, one at 8 o'clock. If you haven't already signed up, you can do so through our website or through Facebook, or you can simply call the office. Neither of those services is completely full, although the 6 o'clock is more full than the 8 o'clock. So if you have plans to come to 6 o'clock, you might want to sign up sooner rather than later. The services will be identical, and so for those of you who are planning to worship with us virtually on Christmas Eve, the 6 o'clock service will run as a live stream, and then at 8 o'clock, that same service will be rerun again. And so just so you're aware of that. Christmas morning then is at 9:30, that's Friday. And we will be serving Holy Communion as a part of that service. So it'll be a divine service with communion. The elders and I met this past week, we still are not going to be offering public communion on Sundays, at least for the time being. But we did feel that it was appropriate and even necessary to have communion on Christmas Day. So that is the plan for this coming Friday. Also, if any of you would like to receive communion in a private appointment, please do not hesitate to call the office and ask. I know sometimes people don't call because they say, well, I don't want to bother Pastor, he's busy. This is why I'm here, you guys. I want to be giving you the word and the sacraments. So if you would like to receive communion in a private appointment, please don't feel bad about calling and asking for that. I would love nothing more than to be able to provide that to you. And then just looking ahead, next week, or well, 2 weeks from now, basically, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day services, just so you're aware, those will be identical services. So there will be a 7 o'clock New Year's Eve and a 9:30 a.m. New Year's Day, but there'll be the same readings and the same sermon at both services. So it'll be a similar thing if you're planning to watch the live stream. It will be a true live stream on New Year's Eve, and then that service will be rerun the next morning as a Facebook premiere at 9:30 in the morning. So just so we're all clear about what to expect there. I think those are all the announcements I wanted to highlight today. Are there any things that I missed? Okay, if not, I hope that you have a blessed week, and that if I don't see you, Merry Christmas to all of you from all of us here at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're blessed to have you join us for worship today. Please join us again next Sunday.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.